Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 517. I'm Adam and kill. Here's Ben Shoveler.
Well, I've got three, and I'm not sure which one to go with.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what, I'll do them all, and you rate them, and I'll go with the one that you say is the best rated one, okay?
Oh, God, here we go.
Right, so the first one.
We all have more than one.
Yes. Well,
yes, but mine is special, Mary.
I've got eight.
Well, my first one, obviously, Kylie Christmas, you've got to have especially for you.
Oh, geez.
I'm sure she sang it somewhere in there. The second one I've got is what? What? And I hope you
good one.
I've got the inclination completely right on all of them. I've been practicing.
Yeah,
that covers both stories.
And the third one is.
That's the best one. Right then, Mary Lang. Oh, Mary.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was laughing, so I didn't hear you. Information, you are all going to die.
That's a really good one. That deserves it. And Kirby Butlett Sloan.
Alonzo.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah.
Someone had
yeah.
to.
Yeah, very good.
Yep.
And by the way, you guys, all three of you had things on my list.
Well, as your list is actually the whole script, then that doesn't really surprise me, Kirby, to be fair.
Had a Kylie and Jason song on your list as well. That's bizarre.
Right then, and I was talking about Kirby's list.
Yeah,
oh, never mind.
That's what I'm saying. He said he had all of them on his list, and one of mine.
Oh,
was
I see
Kylie
what you
Jason
mean.
Song.
Sorry.
Well, no, I didn't have that one, but that wasn't from the story.
Oh
so
God!
There.
It was. They played it in the background. And
together.
Really quietly.
Hang on. Is that Debbie Melrose?
My heart is oh so true.
Perfect timing.
You do the high bit, I'll do the low bit. And all the love I have is especially.
Apologies to the listeners. Right then, and Debbie Melrose.
We're going to die.
Do anybody have that one? I can't remember now.
Someone had that one.
I never listened to yours, Adam. I don't know what it was.
I think it was Mary, wasn't it?
No, mine was Information. You are all going to die.
Yeah. Similar. Still good. Anyway, thanks, Debbie. Thanks for bothering to show up. I mean, thanks for coming on the show this week. Lillian Robbins says, hello. Yeah. And that's exactly how she says it. And then she says, I know you haven't started, obviously. We have now. Terry Miles says, good evening, everybody.
Hello.
And then Lillian Robbins says, good afternoon. Right.
Good evening.
So, if anybody who wasn't on the show last week where we discussed the eve of the Daleks, here's the platform now to say briefly whether it's a thumbs up or thumbs down. That's Deborah Melrose.
I watched it.
Thumbs up.
Hey. Right, that's good then. That's it, really, isn't it? It was only you that wasn't on it.
No, I watched it now. I've watched it.
Oh, you've watched it. Go on then, Ben.
Yeah, I watched it on Monday night.
Oh, yes.
And it was very much thumbs up, apart from the whole Yaz and Doctor.
Oh,
thing.
I know, but that's
I
just
despise
fair.
More than.
Yeah, well, the Doctor wasn't reciprocating, so I'm on with that. That's fine. Right.
What do you mean? It's as obvious as a obvious thing. It's just. Oh,
yeah,
I don't like.
But
I get that she's trying to avoid reciprocating it, which
well,
I think.
Well, I'm with you on that one, really, because it's the Doctor Who show, not let's follow what the.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can totally understand that the companions falling in love with the Doctor. I've got no problem with that. But I don't like it, the idea of the Doctor falling in love with the companions. There's a bit of that in the story we're going to review today, in fact, even though it's a little bit of a very short falling in love.
Yes, well, it's his childhood. It was basically a special thing for David Tennant, wasn't it, to have Kylie Minogue?
Anyway, so, but first of all, well, thanks for those
he
comments.
Had
anybody else? Anybody else? Mary, you weren't on last week, were you?
No, I wasn't.
So what did you think about Eve of the Daleks, then?
Meh.
It's not bad. Most people like it or hate it, so that's good.
I mean, I started out liking it, but it got old really fast. I ended up not really caring anymore about anybody in the story. It's like, just get this over with.
Well, that's good. That's a positive. That's a positive. I can live with that.
Kind of story handled better at other times. So, yeah. So, and the Doctor and Yaz, you know, yes, I'm already cringing.
Yeah, I know. But she hasn't got much time to get it on with her, has she? And I don't like...
That was the whole of her last episode about their relationship.
I don't like Dan encouraging it either.
No, me neither.
He needs a wet kipper flapped across his face to shut him up. Right then, so also before
maybe
we get on with...
Maybe he's got a video cassette that he needs filling.
Time Crash, and I'm not going to go through the synopsis, Kirby, of Time Crash.
That's fine.
It's basically the Doctor's fiddling with the TARDIS, has a problem with getting the, force field up, and something goes wrong, and there's a bit of a time. The two TARDISes clash together. This is the synopsis, by the way. And the fifth Doctor and the tenth Doctor have a little bit of a gush. Well, actually, it's mainly the tenth Doctor gushing about the fifth Doctor and stuff like that.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's basically it. That was what it was. And then it was hello, goodbye. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And I thought, looking at when I originally watched it, that Peter Davison looked a lot older than the he did in the show. Now I feel that he looked a bit more, apart from his hair's nearly gone, it's completely gone now, he looked a bit more, like the fifth Doctor
did. Well, they cover it, don't they? He says it in an aside.
With multi-Doctor stories now. But, it was an excellent bit of fan wank, as Mary would like to say. And it is exactly how long it needed to be. Anybody else want to jump in and say what they thought of it?
No, I didn't. Grinning from ear to ear, this and the five-ish Doctor's reboot. Yeah. These are like little jewels in the crown of Doctor Who. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's what every fanboy or girl would do if in that situation, as in being a Time Lord with a TARDIS when another TARDIS crashes.
And we must remember it's written by your favourite writer, Ben.
Yes, I'd noticed that, which is why I despise it as much as...
And I'm wearing a vegetable.
And of course, we're all anticipating, the future, because after this happens and then they become family and all that, we all know that's going to happen. Yeah. So that's it even better.
It's weird, isn't it? There's nothing about at the time that wasn't on the cards, because I don't think Georgia and David Tennant were together at that point. But anybody else like to jump in, Kirby? What did you think? I think you already said, didn't you?
They hadn't met yet.
No.
They met on the set of this.
Did they? So it would be surprised. I thought they met on the set of Doctor's Daughter. Yes. Okay, we go with yes. Right then. Okay. Yeah,
I absolutely love every bit of it. From Tennant just absolutely gushing with what you can tell that he was saying what he really
It wasn't scripted, was it?
I didn't like the bit where they're standing at each other, looking at each other with love in their eyes. That was a bit, ooh.
And my favorite moment was when they're looking at each other and the fifth Doctor is going, oh, yeah, I know who you are. And Tennant is like, yeah, you know.
You're a fan.
That Linda line.
He's so excited all the way through it. It was lovely.
Yeah.
And I love the Hitchhiker's reference.
Oh, you
a
would
hole
do.
Precisely the size of Belgium.
Yeah. Right, okay. Thank you. We're going to move on to Voyage of the Damned.
Stop swearing on this program, honestly. No swearing allowed.
What?
Yes! Sorry.
That is the worst swear word in the universe.
Okay. Right then, so the Voyage of the Damned. When you've
I'm
watched...
Sure Master realizes that.
When you've watched Voyage of the Damned, after having watched, the Time Crash thing, it's a bit weird, sort of, cause just seeing the same thing scene over and over again with the Titanic's bow coming through the console room.
Master, of course,
yes.
CGI of the Titanic coming through the wall is different from the end of the previous story and the beginning of this story.
It is.
Because they decided by then to make it a spaceship.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he presses a button and it all fixes up, and then he materializes on the ship itself, has a walk around. That's a bit of Kylie sort of in the sort of background, peripheral. And
well,
there's
actually,
lots of these really...
All the, characters in that room pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're all there. Yeah, Banaka Falata, yeah. And everything. And they just happen to have... And bearing in mind that the ring things that they toss overboard, so you could... life rings, what they call it, are normally on the top deck. Obviously, this is a spaceship. They've just got them hanging randomly on the set. but, yeah, so, and they've got these gorgeous robots of death things, which are the... I can't remember what they're called now.
Well, Heavenly Host.
Heavenly Host, that's it, around the place. Very pretty, but they are so robots of death. And then you see that it's actually a spaceship. I'm going to do this quite quickly, Kirby, to be fair, because I don't want to be one here.
You've got a sports thing to watch.
No, there's no sports things to watch. I just want to be here for the rest of the night. Is there snooker on?
Yeah, it's the world champ at the... it's the Masters, isn't it?
Oh, what channel's that on then?
BBC Two.
Yeah, the Masters last week.
And
very good, Kirby.
On Eurosport 1. And on Eurosport, it's presented by a girl called Rachel Casey, who I worked with when I was at Ladbrokes, and I did. I used to train her to be as good as she is now.
No name dropping at all. That other woman that you used to work with, Danielle Perry, she's done quite well for herself, hasn't she?
I had nothing to do with her success.
Oh, did you?
Anyway. I simply moved out of the way and let her steamroll me out the place to a path of absolute radio when I paint walls now. Okay. So thank you very much for reminding me of my past.
Well, I've got a picture of Alicia with Danielle Perry when Alicia did some stint on The Saint a while back. Right then. So meanwhile, on the Titanic, they show a shot of the bridge where we meet a few standard crewmen, including Russell
Jeffrey
Tovey.
Jeffrey Palmer and Russell Tovey.
I was going to say the Palmer bloke. Of course, he's no longer with us, but he's been in lots of Doctor Who episodes. And it's always a charm. I always just think of him in Fawlty Towers. I'm a doctor and I want my sausages. For some reason.
I remember him in Time Goes By.
Yes, of course, with Dame Judi Dench.
It's Master... As I was watching this with Fred last night, and we saw that scene on the bridge, and she sees Russell Tovey over one side. She's seen this before, but she doesn't remember it the way I do. And she goes, "Oh, it's the werewolf."
No, nobody said Alonzo as their quote, though, did they? That was really good one.
I thought that would be gone, so I didn't say it.
Fair enough.
I did.
Oh, right, you did.
I thought it would be so obvious that it wasn't. I just gave it a massive swerve.
Anyway, it's not... the Titanic is not a White Star Line. It's Max Capricorn Cruise Liners, and there's a little video that plays of the lovely Max.
Max. Yes.
You're
Max
right.
Headroom. There's a little Max Headroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And no one even remembers Max Headroom nowadays.
I do.
Well,
of course everybody remembers him. I just don't want to talk about him. Anyway, the Doctor gets changed into a tuxedo and makes himself more or less at home. And we meet a few peripheral characters, including the Doctor asks one of the Alexas, I nearly said it out loud, hosty things, a few questions. And it does get a bit like one of Kirby's computers. Goes a bit funny. And they have to carry it off.
Max Headroom.
They have to carry it off. And there's a little shot of a forklift truck, which is obviously going to have some significance later on in the episode.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, that's just got even more ridiculous.
Foreshadowing.
Over the years.
What, foreshadowing?
Yes.
Kylie and
it's Chekhov's forklift.
Okay, thank you for that. There's a scene which Astrid, played by Kylie Minogue, has a sort of interaction with the greedy businessman character, who I think is Scottish, isn't he? He doesn't have a Scottish accent in this episode, but I think he has got a Scottish accent.
Yes, and he is Scottish.
Then the Doctor flirts with her for a bit. Then we meet a couple of characters.
It's the whole blooming episode.
Well, she's blonde, isn't she? Then we meet the couple of characters look like they've fallen out of a rodeo. Oh, sorry, a comedy rodeo with the clothes
love her.
They're wearing.
She's terrific.
They're both terrific.
I saw her in a version of Tess of the D'Urbervilles. That she was one of Tess's friends in it, and she was brilliant.
Anyway, they're a married couple, and they've got onto the ship via winning a prize. I love the conversation later on in the story when she says that she phoned through how many thousand times,
yeah.
and basically paid for the trip anyway by the price of the phone call. Anyway, there's a few, just some introductions, scenes of introduction of characters for about 10 minutes. We also meet
you have to do that in a disaster movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we
and
meet.
And you've got an hour and 5 minutes to fill.
No.
Ride an adventure.
Then we meet the Joe Bell from what's that of the Daleks story? Revelation of the Daleks. Yes.
Of the Daleks.
He's a bit of a tour. He sort of does these tour talks, doesn't he? And gets all the facts about humanity wrong, which is quite funny. Moving on. And then, of course,
now, at one time,
it's bouquet.
Yes.
Around the time that this came out, he was being interviewed a lot and was bad mouthing the show.
What, Doctor Who?
He's dead now, isn't he?
Yes. Well, you'd worry about getting into trouble.
No, I was wondering if he ever kind of
apologized.
I wouldn't know, but he's not the only person to ever bad mouth Doctor Who, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Who's been on it? Yeah.
There's a bloke called Chris Chibnall, who's famously done it.
But he probably enjoyed the paycheck as well.
I read that his interview was supposed to be taken as a sarcasm, not as real opinion, so I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, meet Banneker Valletta, who's played by Jimmy V, who I met up in Newcastle.
He's brilliant. I love him.
Yes.
I don't like the fact the Doctor calls him a conker.
Yeah, it's a bit racist, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's
a bit racist.
Like, hang on, don't
and
call
also.
Him that.
Kirby won't be aware of this, but Jimmy V was also R2-D2 in one of the
films.
I
know that.
And you didn't know that, not until I told you, because I found out before you found out, because I actually spoke to him about it up in Newcastle, and he said, he said, you can't tell anyone, he said. So I kept my mouth shut all these years, Kirby.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
So that was way back in
2000. I thought I recognised him in the costume. Beep.
So anyway, they've got these little.
I believe the last story that he was in that we've reviewed, I mentioned the very same thing.
No, you didn't. And
no,
you didn't. Right then. So they get these little. They're given these little ring things which takes them to Earth. And there's a scene in which they. We can't go down there. They might be really busy, and we'll just appear in a crowd or whatever.
Yeah, and he looks like a conqueror. Yeah. That's when he said it. It's so rude.
And then they land in a. A nighttime scene in Cardiff, I suspect, which is supposed to be London. And
It looks like they managed to film and avoid the Pizza Hut sign, which you can see in the Confidential.
Fine. Anyway.
They all prefer Domino's, I think.
It's a Burger King, that's right.
Yeah, well, they've got Coral and C&G and all the a car phone warehouse in the background, so what's the problem with Pizza Hut?
I don't know.
Anyway, Astrid is absolutely thrilled to bits with this experience.
Very
she's quiet jumping
London.
Up and down, and the Doctor is taking her by the hand and leading her to Bernard Cribbins.
Let me take you by the hand, through the streets of London.
To make it look like London, they've put in Bernard Cribbins' little hut. He's a little newspaper seller. Bit scruffy.
Bernard Cribbins is just the best.
He is, but he looks a bit scruffy in this. It made him look a bit like a tramp, but he's not like that when he becomes Wilf Mott. He's got a picture.
Well, they hadn't decided.
I know that, Kirby.
It's like he's seasoned as sitting in one of those things in the middle of winter, so he's just dressed accordingly.
He does.
But the Wombles walking behind him.
No.
There's a picture on the...
According to RTD's book, his name was not a Wilf in
the credits.
Script.
It's not either,
but
is it?
I believe in the script it is.
In the script it is. When I looked that up earlier, he's down as Wilf now in that.
Thank you, Dick. The script
online at Chakatoya.net.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Oh, yeah, he's now.
Yeah, he is Wilf, and he's Wilf in the credits. But in the original script, he had a completely different name.
Wasn't it just Man in Hutt or something?
His original name was Stan.
Yeah.
Stan.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
The Foreign Fighters will be with you as soon as possible.
Normal service will be resumed shortly. Oh, we're back now. Right then, so he's got a picture on his wall of some Coldstream Guards, just to imply... Oh, and a few Union Jacks, just to imply they're in London. Then Nicholas Witchell does a little news report from the palace, just to say the Queen is home. Or Jessica Martin, who was the Queen in this episode. Or the Queen's voice. Meanwhile, there's these things. There's a storm of some variety approaching the Titanic, after they've gone back up from their little trip, by the way, and the Doctor soon realises that the shields aren't up, and he tries to call the bridge to let them know this, but of course...
I mean, if there's anyone who knows anything about leaving shields down, it's him.
Yeah.
Captain says, carry on, and he points his gun at Alonso and subsequently shoots him. Now, that bit sort of annoyed me a little bit. I don't mind Alonso being shot, but he had a little bit of blood initially, and he carried on for the rest of the episode. And there was hardly any reference to this. He's been shot, for God's sake. Thing, you would have possibly, especially in his lower abdomen, a potential of infection and stuff.
Yeah, and probably continuing bleeding. Groaning in pain a while.
And he did have steel underpants on.
But besides, Master, it's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Anyway, this storm does eventually...
Master.
Jeez. Yes.
Band playing there, Murray Gold is there, and the other guy,
Ben Foster.
This
is
good. That singer also was in the proms that they did around
the singer
time.
The one who went ooh wee ooh.
Yeah. Kirby, I don't know how you do this. You go from a 10-minute conversation about Wilf Mott to an actual interesting fact about Murray Gold being in the episode. Anyway, Brandon Moore's joined. He says, sorry I'm late. I just got back from a holiday at Penhaxico 2, where the ladies, so I'm told, are very fond of metal. Right then. Anyway, so now the storm has hit the Titanic. A few people get done in. And there's a great big hole in the side of the ship, and
there's many holes.
Yeah, and one of the crew gets sucked out into space and is still going. Because they worked out how to do that special effect in 42. I thought, wow, that worked really well. So now they do it in as many episodes as they can and as many times as they can, to be fair. Anyway, so the Doctor.
Master.
Master's not in this episode.
I will point this out, but I give the credit to Mary, because she pointed out 9 years ago that there are precisely three people who fall the very same way in this episode.
Okay.
With the flailing arms and everything.
I love the way you say she pointed this out 9 years ago. Oh, jeez. Anyway, right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. No.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Anyway, the hosts are going around using their halos as weapons and throwing at people and killing them. The Doctor sort of tries to get Alonso, who's probably the only survivor up in the bridge, to sort things out. He's been shot, by the way, goes on a mission to sort of try and save everyone, really. And a few people get... It was going to be a little bit this bit, not of the Titanic thing, of the Poseidon Adventure, because...
Yes, that's what Debbie said.
I said Poseidon Adventure. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I love that film. Gene Hackman one.
And during
I've never seen the remake. I don't want to.
No,
During one of these quiet moments, the lady admits to her husband that she cost him a fortune on phone credit. And Banner Cavallato, who's been knocked over by the business, is also flirting with Kylie Minogue. And that's, again, fitting for Jimmy V to do that. And he reveals that he's, in fact, a cyborg.
Jimmy V's a cyborg? Really?
Yeah. I'm just going to move on a little bit because it does...
Master?
Geez, yeah.
When Alonso deadlocks himself into the control room, and he ends up cutting off that one angel's hand. I just so wish that RTD had put in
Do not throw hands at me. That would have been probably a little bit too much. Where he's copied the robots anyway, exactly the exact and best quotes from Robots of Death would probably be a little bit over the top. Anyway,
well,
moving on.
If you went over the top, this entire story's been over the top.
Yeah, who's arguing over the top here?
So anyway, there's a scene in which they find themselves in one of the holds of the ship, and the angels, as I'm going to call them now, descend from above and start throwing the halos around, and a few people go fall over and go because they've been hit by these halos, and again the injuries they get are sort of forgotten.
Isn't it convenient that there's only one bridge across that gap, and it happens to be exactly where they come out? Mm.
Science fiction fantasy TV show. I'm pretty sure it happens in Star Wars as well. Anyway, so Banneker Valata uses his cyborgness to blast everyone away. The woman who's lost her husband, by the way, just sacrifices herself to take a few of the hosts with her. It's probably a high death count for a Christmas story, isn't it? And the Doctor continues to flirt with Astrid, whose name is an abbreviation of TARDIS. I just thought I'd have mentioned that before Kirby did. And
it's not an abbreviation.
All right, it's an anagram.
Yes, there you go. It also means star.
Whatever. Anyway, so that she. I forgot to mention that the greedy businessman bloke gets given the Doctor's sonic screwdriver and is told to press a button on it at some point. I've got one here, just so happens. Sonic screwdriver. There are two buttons on it. One button does this. Oh, that's the wrong that doesn't work. Hang on. And where's my one that does work gone? I do like to prove a point. Oh, I've lost it. Oh, shut up, Curly. Right. Here it is. Found it. Right, so.
He's trying to prove a point. And,
yeah, so this.
He's not put incidental music on whilst doing it.
So up it goes, and button that he's talking about is this one. Oh, no, it's not. It's this one. See?
I didn't hear
not very
anything.
Complicated, but all the things he's supposed to be able to do with them.
That proved everything, mate. Well done.
Oh, do you want to hear it? Okay, I'll put it by the thingy mics. I didn't realise you were that serious. Oh, hang on, it's not working. Yeah. Can you hear that?
Barely.
I heard a snap.
It's very faint.
Mine better.
I don't care. Yours isn't the proper. Yours is not a proper 9th, 10th Doctor Sonic screwdriver like mine is. Right, where to get up to? Oh, yeah, so.
Master?
Everybody's sent on their little missions.
Master?
What?
You know, you see. Several times you see all these heavenly hosts all lined up.
Yeah.
And you'd think that they would have a standard manufacturing process, and they'd all be the same.
Would you?
But like Suntarans, who are all supposed to be the same, they're all different heights.
Well, actually, some identical twins can look slightly different, especially as they get older.
But
moving on.
Usually the same height.
All right, Kirby. Mary?
I went to school with some identical twins who had different names.
Mary, tell Kirby off, but do it off air so I can't hear it. Right then,
text him off.
Yeah. Anyway, then we meet the real Max Capricorn, who's looking a bit, you know, like he's a bit like Davros actually, but in a great big box, and he's a bit weird because the Doctor manages to coerce the angel thing, he's the host, into taking him to him by being the Doctor. And I noticed some of the wider shots, you know, do actually look like they're old-fashioned sort of painted-on thingies, you know, rather than what they use now, which I think was CGI. Anyway, the Doctor and big villain.
You're saying it's like a matte painting?
Yeah. You're saying it isn't a matte painting?
I don't think it's a matte painting.
Oh, dear, that's a bit bad, isn't it? Anyway, so Astrid.
We are well past the matte painting era by 2000.
Thank you, Kirby. That'll do. Thank you. Astrid, I think, does she get one of the bracelet things and manages to get herself into the where the Doctor is so she can drive a forklift truck at Max Capricorn and eventually, after a long, long period of flirting, manages to take herself and Capricorn down into what looks like. Some sort of nuclear reaction. Which she, then,
You know, she could not actually, Kylie could not actually drive that forklift because she wasn't certified to do so.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Kirby.
Anyway, they got in a boat called Dave, who used to work at Q&Q, who enjoyed his day on the set, got Kylie Minogue's autograph.
Fact of the episode so far, that was Kylie could not drive it because she hasn't got a forklift truck license. So.
Also, Jeffrey Palmer can't fly a replica of the Titanic that's been made into a spaceship.
Is that because he's dead?
What though? Jeffrey Palmer is fantastic as Eeyore. My daughter has to sleep with the same Winnie the Pooh CD for the past 10
years.
What
the hell is this
Jeffrey
show doing?
Jeffrey Palmer is on it as Eeyore and he's brilliant.
Hang on, I'm off.
I hear it every night.
What?
I've got to say, Adam, please wait till we're off air.
No, I thought it'd be more interesting to play a creaking door than it is to actually try and keep back on track with this blimmin' episode.
That was not what I thought that was.
Well,
is somebody
you've got
getting
that sort of
cranky mind for his bath time on Sunday?
Oh, dear. Right, where did I get up to? I'm getting hot and bothered. Oh, because I've got the fire on. I'm just going to turn the fire off. Oh, that's better. Oh, it's cooling down already. Right then. Oh, dear. I can now show Kirby the difference between the sounds of a fart and a creak. Oh, blast, that's not a creaking door.
Oh, Adam, this is a family show.
No, I'm just, that's what, oh no, there's another one here. There might be a bit more up. Oh, there you are. So that's, Kirby, that's a fart. Oh, there's another one here. All right.
Just ask Alexa do a fart.
No, stop it. And this is what a creaking door sounds like. Well, to see what you mean there, actually. Right then.
So, I take it, Adam, I take it that you've decided to start editing the show again.
Yeah, right.
No chance of that. Anyway.
You were complaining when we were actually on topic talking about Wilf.
Mm. Yeah, we were.
Well, I know, we break off and add in interesting things. You play fart sound effects.
So after Astrid falls down and gets... No, she gets a bit, you know, sort of gets done in by the...
Gets deaded.
Deaded, that's it.
Gets hit by the locomotion.
The doctor bit so cross. The doctor is so cross, he does some slow motion walking with a very angry face. Towards the camera.
To practice that angry face.
He's the oncoming storm now. He's really, and he's doing a weird thing where he sort of puts his hands out as if he's going to regenerate, and a couple of the hosts carry him skywards or up a few decks through the ceiling. Wouldn't have hurt at all. And in where Alonso is, and then he gets to try, because at the moment the Titanic's sort of heading towards Buckingham Palace.
Over the top, that whole scene.
The Titanic is heading towards Buckingham Palace, conveniently, and the doctor has to steer the ship and the palace to safety. And just as it goes over the roof of the palace, the Queen, Jessica Martin goes, yeah, thank you, Doctor.
What should have been happening there?
How did she know it was the doctor doing it?
Gown.
Hang on, how did she
have the Queen getting ready to do the Queen's speech?
I don't think she'd be in her garden in a dressing gown, to be fair.
Master?
No, it wouldn't be him either. That was in the previous episode, for God's sake.
How does she know? He phoned her. There was a scene where he called Buckingham Palace.
Was there? I missed that
bit.
Well, he calls the security office and tells them to clear out.
Right.
Yeah.
Lillian Robin has made some sense on the live feed. She says, y'all are silly. Y'all is, of course, Ben's nickname. And then she said, poot. There you go.
And that's what we call you behind your back, Adam.
Good old poot.
Apart from not the good old.
Anyway, after saving everyone, magically, because of these particles that when she fell into the thing, the doctor's able to sort of turn her into a particle creature. And so he's able to have a kiss with her before she fades into particleness.
Why does he have to kiss everybody?
You know, he doesn't have to kiss everybody, Debbie.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, what is this? No, you're free to roam. And it's like, well, she's just Adams now. How enjoyable is that going to be? Where's she going to go? Mm.
anywhere.
When you said she was Adams, I thought, well, about 25 years ago, I would have been delighted with that particular notion. Thanks for that, Mary.
I'd have quite liked you if you'd have married Simon. Just a lot more of me.
Oh, yeah,
you wouldn't have been married to her for long, though.
The doctor sort of says goodbye to even the greedy businessman whose business, because of the whole thing, is very successful now, and then takes your Joe Bell down to Earth, where, because it's Christmas, it's snowing, but it's not really snowing. It's something to do with the Titanic. Well, just don't bother putting snow on, for goodness sake.
They have to.
Mud, rain, that's what happens at Christmas. Make it more realistic, for God's sake.
Apart from this year, it was about 14 degrees, wasn't it?
Yes.
The thing is, Master, if on all of these earlier Christmas specials, it always snowed, and it was never snow. It was always because of something else.
Yes, that's that is the point I was making, Kirby.
Do you know where they filmed that scene with the TARDIS and... those two speaking?
Cardiff.
Jupiter.
Cardiff.
Yes, Cardiff. But specifically, that is no longer an empty field. It is where what used to be the Doctor Who Experience stands.
Stood stands.
What's in there? What is? I'm assuming that building is just standing there empty?
I don't know. I don't live in Wales.
Anyway. We want you to run up there and check.
Well, last time I went to Cardiff, it was there, and it was the Doctor Who Experience.
I'm disappointed that there's no longer a Doctor Who Experience.
Well, so am I, but that's the way it goes, isn't it? Anyway, he says the bloke's got this credit card thing that's got £1 million on it, and he's delighted, and the Doctor goes away. But there's a lovely little caption at the end, which is probably the nicest part of the whole episode, in memory of Verity Lambert, OBE, 1935 to 2007.
Well, the guy's card being worth way more in credits cuts the lie to the cost of those tickets that earlier woman was talking about, because then it means that their tickets were not that expensive, as they're saying.
But we don't know how much they actually make as robot repairmen.
Ah, okay. Hang on, the phone's ringing.
Yeah, I mean, hello? Really, the rate of inflation will also have a lot to do with how much or how little the fee is worth when you transfer it between their currency and the credit card and then onto Earth pounds or even British Earth pounds. You just never know. You could be looking at something like a 17.4% APR transaction rate, which, as we all know, is ludicrous.
Now, for someone who is... doesn't know a whole lot about Earth. Mr. Copper does pretty well because he later ends up saving Harriet Jones. Hello?
Hello? Anybody there?
Hello?
Maybe Adams left 2 years early.
She works with the Mr. Copper Foundation. Which
Where
I told you 9 years ago, and you don't remember.
Is Adam on the phone?
I don't know.
Well, right, carry on.
I'll carry on anyway. So then, that was the end of the episode. Let's see what other people think about it. We'll find out what Adam thinks about it in a minute. We'll start with Kirby. Kirby, what do you reckon?
About it?
Kirby? Is he even there?
Oh, just
don't worry about it. Give us your review, Kirby. What do you think of the episode?
You should come around to me later.
Why?
All right, then. That's fine. Okay, we'll start with... Kirby, you've missed your slot now. We've moved on to Debbie. Debbie, it's up to you. What do you reckon? Voyage of the Damned, go.
It's a cracking Christmas story. The music's brilliant.
I'm next after you.
All right. Okay.
I think I'm now the boss of this podcast. I decide that, Kirby.
Are we sure? Are we sure it's even recording?
Yes, it is, Kirby. Please stop fretting. He wouldn't have left us on if he didn't know we were capable.
Well, you say that, but he does set it up every week himself.
Yes, he does.
And to be honest, we all sit here not knowing whether this is being recorded or not.
If he's on the video, I don't run the video.
He's fine, Kirby. Can I carry on with my review?
Yes. You can carry on with your review now, Debbie. Go on. No interruptions, Kirby.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hold on. The video stopped at my end. He looks like he's just been... Oh, dear. This might not be good. Carry on, though.
Okay. Right. I think it's a terrific pantomime. This is what it feels like. It feels like an oh no you didn't, oh yes you did kind of episode. And although the absolute stealer of the whole thing is the 5 seconds we get of Bernard Cribbins, because he's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that he comes back as, you know, we've got golden era of Tennant coming very shortly, and he's a big feature in it, so that's going to be brilliant. And I just think that, you know, the acting is over the top, the costumes are over the top, and it's just a great Christmas fairing. And it's not up there as one of the best Doctor Who's, but it's not down either. It's a good Doctor Who story, but I just get fed up with him having to kiss a pretty girl, and, you know, it's just like, yeah. I'm so ready for him to just have a friend, and we're about to have that, and it's going to be great. And he shines when he's not having to romance or not romance someone.
I think
pantomime's
a fantastic description of it.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. It's just
panto done right. It really is.
Yeah.
It's the time as well. You think, oh, it's going to be quite a long one, but the time is taken up, and it is such a homage to one of my favourite films.
Kirby, but slowing time of your own to give us your review. So what say you?
You're not going to let me, are you?
I'll finish singing now. I won't carry on too long, because if I wanted to, I could sing the whole song.
Is that what it's called?
I'll sing you a song. All right, Kirby, on you go.
I wanted to go later because I was afraid that it was going to be like last time, 9 years ago. I keep
no
saying
one
that.
Remembers 9 years. No one remembers 9 weeks ago, Kirby.
Let's see, were we alive 9 years ago?
I don't think we were.
We'd be alive in 9 years' time, alone 9 years ago.
Who's that voice?
Carry on, Kirby.
Yeah, I remember that voice from podcasts past. I'm in charge. Carry on.
9 years ago.
Even 9 years ago, I was kind of a little bit down on this one, but in the intervening years, I'm liking this one even better. It's over the top. It's fun. Yeah, a lot of people die, but it's a disaster movie. So what?
But it's Christmas. That's why people die in Die Hard, and it's a
episode
Christmas
of EastEnders.
Yes, Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie. it's fun. Yeah, the Doctor is doing all the. One thing is, I was watching it again last night with Fred. She was going on about how, oh, why does he have to kiss everyone? I said to her, since we're going through. I'm watching original Star Trek. Actually, it could be all of Star Trek with her.
This is cool.
And I was pointing out to her that the Doctor isn't as bad as Captain Kirk.
Well, that's it. That's what's all right then.
I think the other thing is as well, the reason it's probably best that the Doctor kisses everyone is because it's a children's / adult / family TV show.
And there was mistletoe everywhere, wasn't there, Ben? Mistletoe
well,
everywhere.
That, but, you know, what's the alternative? If he's not going around kissing people, then, you know, it certainly makes it an 18 in my views.
So, anyway, this is good fun. I like it.
Well, I don't deny it's good fun. All I'm going to say is that at the time, this was the first of the massively over-the-top Christmas specials. I didn't find it too bad. So, but this launched this long run of massively over the top. Oh, we know what to expect from a Doctor Who Christmas special thing. But I loved seeing Kylie
Master. I've got to excuse myself for a few minutes. So,
where's your phone now?
That's because you're polite, Kirby. And you'll tell us before you go away.
The phone rang. It's one of Deb's customers. I had no choice. Anyway, right. So
I'll let you know when I get back so I can read the comments.
Yeah, okay. Where do we go? Mary, what bit did I get up to before I got interrupted doing my own views on
life?
God.
I think you're just about finished.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, we thought you had, so we started doing reviews.
But I didn't. To be fair, right, I wasn't really looking forward to having to watch this one again. I do like Kylie a lot. I like the Titanic, the actual real story of it. I like aspects of this story quite a lot. But
you like aspects?
I just
of love
a little
the
bit.
Of a musical.
I like the design of the redesigning of the robots and robots of death, reimagining of it and things like that. That's very good. I think it would be nice if they had actually really admitted that they were those particular robots, because I thought that was so much of a rip-off, it's ridiculous. But I will say I didn't really care for it as much as I had other episodes of the Tennant era. Not one I'd really look forward to watching. And you'll find that a lot when I talk about Christmas specials. Really.
This one's the most pantomime of the lot.
Yeah, that's all right. Certainly got things I liked, but mainly things I didn't like. Has everybody else been, apart from Mary?
No, Mary and me, but Mary can go first.
No, she can't. That's not how it works. So you're going to go. I'll do your piece of music, Ben, so I know you like to have a bit of a sort of music lead you into. Hang on, I've got to do the volume.
My review is coming up. Now my review is here. It's going to start any minute. It's going to start a very second.
Very good.
Thank you very much. That was completely planned. Right. Well, yes, I loved it. I think it's a brilliant episode of Doctor Who. I think it's silly. I think it's daft. As Debbie said, it's a pantomime, and it is exactly that. It's a feel-good Christmas episode, and I loved it. I think Kylie Minogue was brilliant in it, but then again, I loved Kylie massively at this point.
I loved her first.
I loved, well really, because I've got photos to prove it. And I think she was good. The whole story was good enough. It was enjoyable to watch, and I do remember I watched it about 5 or 6 weeks ago, just to refresh my memory on it, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I did the first time, because the first time I didn't think it was bad. It's just that I was working on a radio station down on the south coast of England, doing the overnight show between midnight and 6 a.m. and I was watching it as the songs were on, so I never really got the full flow of it as I was watching it the first time. But I thought it was really good, and as far as Christmas specials go, wow, it's right in the middle.
Well, thank you, Ben. Right then, so without further ado, somehow think Mary's going to be more on my side. Will you stop burping live on the show, please?
Now, how do I beat that kind of an intro, huh?
Could have clown music played, Mary.
I agree with Deb and Ben that this is very much a pantomime. And if you just take it as that, it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of rollicking fun. But if you look deeper into it, it really doesn't hang together very well. I mean, there are some wonderful set pieces. There are some wonderful moments. The whole thing, you just find yourself going, oh no, that can't be possible. Only in a pantomime can that be possible.
Like the bloke who got shot, forgetting he got shot, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then later on, I mean, there's not even any blood on him, you know.
He didn't.
But I did read that it's been a tradition on the BBC before Doctor Who came along with other specials and that, and all these Christmas specials, that every Christmas they would show a disaster movie. And one of the most popular ones was the Poseidon Adventure. And that is where RTD took his cue to write something that was very similar to the Poseidon Adventure, like the disaster movies that the BBC normally shows. So that's what he did. And he did it in spades here for us all, with every expected turn of events, the, you know, people dying and the heroic savior. And the way I would put it is that it's a story of unmet expectations. I mean, the doctor promises to save everybody, and so we expect him to do that.
He lied.
We expect the sweet characters like the Van Hoffs and Astrid and that to, you know, live to the end, you know, to be the triumphant ones. And Baffle, what a lot of whatever his name is, that everybody, you know, just loves, you know, we expect him to survive. And we expect the nasty ones to either, you know, come to death or at least come to some kind of a, what is it, come to Jesus moment. You know, they would realize how wrong they were, you know, whereas, you know, we saw this guy just never did. And that the midshipman Frame, he was a perfect red shirt character. We expected him to, you know, be eliminated quickly, you know, but he's the one who, against all odds, survives to the end without even a drop of blood on him.
So you can have a bit of a fling with Captain Jack later, yes.
Yeah, are thrown out the window. Mm. So for me, I mean, and the thing is, I've got the benefit of several years now of Christmas specials that get worse and worse as we go along. So to me, you know, I look back on this with kind of a rosy eye.
That's a very good point, Mary.
Yeah. It stands as one of the better ones at this point in time, because I know in the future I'm going to be just, you know, really, really disappointed. So some kind of, you know, like Ben, I'm kind of in the middle.
I think the very interesting thing you said there was how all of the, you know, the characters you thought would survive, look, you would normally survive in a story, didn't. They all kind of died in a heroic way. Yet in Star Wars, Jar Jar Binks made it through three films.
Oh, my God, yes. To the detriment of that whole, the whole...
trilogy.
Oh, yeah, thank you. The whole trilogy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, let's say that they all died heroically, though. They didn't, you know, go out in a whimper, did they? They all kind of, like, gave their lives for a purpose.
Yeah.
When I first saw this,
he's back.
I expected...
I thought you were going to warn us, Kirby.
Got shocked.
Well,
we could have been talking about you.
I see an opportunity to make a point.
Go on, then.
When I first saw this, I expected the one character to be the Shelley Winters character.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I expected her to die.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the doctor promises to save everybody, so...
And he fails.
And so far, you know, he's been pretty good about that, so you expect that he's going to come through.
Everybody dies.
Yep. When she turns on him and says, you promised, you know, and it's...
Absolutely. Good. Good drama, that is. I did like that aspect. Right, that's it. Thank you. Now, because he's timed it rather well, we can now... I should have a theme tune for Kirby's feedback section. Let's see if we can find one here that we can... for Kirby's feedback. How about this one? No, that doesn't fit, does it?
No, it needs to be instrumental, and I'll just make some words up as it goes.
Oh, an instrumental. Oh, good Lord. How about this one? Oh, that doesn't fit either, does it? Oh, how about this one? How about this one? No, this is... I've got to play you the wrong theme music, Ben. This is your theme music. That's your theme music. I played you the wrong one. Enter the Gladiators is Kirby's. Oh, so I've got it right round the wrong way. How about this one?
It's Kirby's feedback on the show. What have you...
Oh, sorry.
Been thinking about the episode we've just been talking about for the last 25 minutes. Kirby's about to tell you.
I've never done this feedback.
Go on then, Kirby.
Kirby's feedback. That worked brilliantly.
Debbie, why is Kirby getting two feedbacks?
No, I'm not. I'm reading the feedback on Facebook.
Right. I think Debbie got confused there.
Do you want another go, Deb?
No, I just
want to tell us what you think again.
Yeah.
No, I don't want another go. Thank you very much.
But 9 years ago you did. No, that was a different thing.
I wasn't on 9 years ago.
And you've been married for 25.
Oh, by the way, I believe that this when I was listening to us talk about this 9 years ago, actually, I listened to it yesterday.
But, you probably want to listen to what we've just been saying, Kirby.
But apparently this, we'll have to see what happens with next week, but I started this with a quote. I use the information thing, and I didn't previous to this, so I'm wondering if this was the very first time I did the quote 9 years ago.
Was it? Oh, sorry, I drifted. Then I was looking at my WhatsApp.
And in the feedback, by the way, the picture I chose was to show that all these identical robots are not identical because they're all lined up and they're all different heights. So, Andy Nunny says, ironing board set up and ready, master. And Debbie Melrose, whoever that is, says, Alonzi. And Andy Nunny says, Alonzo. Robert Wentz Jr., this episode is where the music stands out partly because it's a Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says, oh, by the way, information, please. Robert Wentz Jr. again. Oh, he keeps going and going.
Good.
And going.
Keep it coming, Robert.
Time Crash was an enjoyable Children in Need segment before Voyage. Nice to see Peter Davison, future father-in-law.
It's Davidson, Robert. Don't want to be top pedantic.
But yeah, I was going to say, Davidson. I was going to say the same thing. He misspelled it.
You two don't want
hemming
to
it up. Nice to see Peter Davison, future father-in-law of David Tennant, hamming it up. Also, it was nice to hear David be a fanboy. I always wanted to be you, showing his glasses and pointing to his shoes. Two better times, 5 out of 5. Now he goes into Voyage of the Damned.
It's D-A-M. Oh, you spelled that one wrong. Sorry.
Yes. I feel it a bit over the top. I think they looked at disaster movies and said, let's do Doctor Who like
that's
that.
That's what Mary said.
He did.
They do provide stuff to carry over to the end of Series 4. I enjoyed Mr. Copper's wicked twist on Christmas history, but kindly seemed very plain. I guess he means plain.
Yeah. Oh, he spelled that wrong.
Compared to her lifestyle. The whole Queen line was dumb. She wouldn't thank him. She would be waving her fist at the Doctor, saying Torchwood would get him.
Very good, Robert.
Very average story, 3 out of 5. Chris Miller says, it's my only exposure whatsoever to Kylie Minogue, so I think of her primarily as a very short-term Doctor Who companion and never as a singer.
Wow.
To which I replied, me too. This is the only thing I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, Kylie Minogue is like a complete unknown over here. So it's like she was just another Doctor companion.
Yeah.
Us. Yeah.
And Robert Wentz Jr. also says, I wish she did a song, but they or she wanted her to act too bad. Chris Miller.
Song that would have ruined it.
They probably couldn't afford to have her do a song.
It would have worked with a song, surely.
She probably.
What was that?
Me getting an answer right by the sounds of it.
Anyway.
And the next question.
Chris Miller says, anyway, I thought it was RTD firing on all cylinders of what makes a typical RTD era over-the-top extravaganza. I'm unapologetic to say that I wish to see more of this in the future. And Mr. M says, 2 minutes to Belgium, Time Crash by Steemo. This is much better than Time Lash, by the way. As an overexcited 10-year-old, this was one of my first encounters with a classic Doctor and led to me beginning to revisit some of the classic series. This is a great mini-episode and one that makes me question why this was or has not been done again. I'd love to see 13 and 4 rollicking around the TARDIS together for children in need, so why don't they?
But anyway... Rollicked around the TARDIS, he might not rollick up again.
Hard to get him to rollick.
Well, we did see 11 before, so. But anyway, this is a great script where almost every line of dialogue is instantly quotable. Davison almost works better as grumpier and frumpier older Doctor than he did in his original run, And Tennant is clearly loving every second of this. 10 out of 10. And now Mr. M talks about Voyage of the Damned. Max, 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 Max. Voyage of the Damned by Rustly Day.
Your dog just walked into the room, Kirby.
Well, this is Doctor Who and it's showboating, haha, best. This is big populist drama for the masses, and I like that. Doctor Who is able to be this when required. I like lots and lots about this episode, but at their same time, there isn't really anything to love about it. Every element works pretty well, but nothing outstanding. At the same time, I don't really dislike anything except for Alonso surviving with a bullet wound for so long. Yeah,
thank you.
And also the stuff with the Queen is a bit much. The episode is also a bit long in places. Bernard Cribbins is great, though, and I love that he brought his own holly from home and painted the berries red. What a star. Memories of first viewing. Didn't see the episode until Boxing Day. Strict tradition of no TV at Christmas in our house, but loved every minute of it. Family really enjoyed as well, especially DT. And how exciting did that trailer look? Yeah. Can't wait to get into series 4. Some great episodes in the second half, first half full of some relatively good but underrated stories. Oh yeah, this one's a 7 out of 10.
That's not too bad, marking wise. Well, as you Americans have never heard anything from Kylie Minogue, I thought it'd be appropriate to find a piece of music that was like this.
I want to fuck.
Oh, hang on, I can't find the... It is 6 seconds. And then it's another 6 seconds, another 6 seconds, another 6 seconds. There we go. That's all right.
Well, as long as no one grasses you up to Kylie Minogue's record label...
I'm promoting. Hang on, all right, let's have a bit of Kylie actually singing on it. Oh, yeah, this is 6 seconds.
To get down and boogie.
All you can do is step back in time.
I love Kylie.
So do I. Sorry, Debbie, we're going to say something? A bit more Kylie.
My cat yelled downstairs.
Pardon?
All I can hear is Wilson go, wow.
She sounds a bit like our Britney Spears.
Oh, no. No, far more classy.
She keeps her clothes on better than Britney Spears.
Yes, absolutely.
No, she doesn't.
Hey.
Kylie does.
Ben, Debbie's dissing Kylie.
Well, that's probably the COVID.
I reckon she's got to be certain about what she says. Anyway, right, let's move on to some more.
How did you never get a show on 1980s commercial radio? That was so shit, rubbish. I almost swore for the first time in about 50 episodes. I'm sure Kirby will be able to tell us the last episode.
Well, when you nearly swore, did that mean the word was nearly out? Oh, for God's sake.
Adam, the word's going to be cock if you don't stop it.
Oh, well, better the devil you know, Ben.
Oh, my God.
Oh, never mind, moving on. Right then, so...
Let's rock. I mean, you are smashy and noisy. Together.
Oh, well, right then.
Nothing to anyone American.
I've sent Debbie over some blurb from... nearly got... Oh, I'm going to play some more Kylie. Yes, Kirby?
On the Facebook group last week, Billy Kirkbright posted something about his opinion about Flux.
Oh, he did.
Oh, yes.
He didn't like it, did he?
But the thing is, I had to comment today because when I read this, I said, I can't help but to hear Billy's accent in my head when I read his posts.
Right. No. Go do it, then. Did your impression of Billy?
Comedy gold.
I didn't see Flux, nor do I want to. I suffered through it.
Don't try it. Flux.
Oh, God, that is DJ and your impressions. This is a real talent show this evening, isn't it?
I was shocked by that. Oh, not that one. Sorry. Carry
oh,
on.
My God.
Oh, really? Being on this podcast is some kind of bliss.
I haven't got that one.
That's the best Kylie song. What are you playing at?
Well, I haven't got that one.
Written by the Manic Street Preachers.
I know what the song is, but I just haven't got it. I've got it especially
for
you.
She's got short ginger hair and looks so odd.
You, I
want to
tell you.
Do you know what?
That was six
all
seconds.
All I can picture right now is Adam stood behind the 1980s style square disco lights, jumping the records to get into the bit where he wants it.
Trouble is, you won't be able to get it out of your head. That's 6 seconds, sorry. Right.
Did you want me to read Billy's...
Yes, get on with it.
He says, I didn't see Phlox, nor do I want to. I suffered through the first episode, but I conjured up the endurance to watch this year's special. To me, it was a fail.
Yes.
I've often voiced my opinion to scrap the TV series. As to my mind, it's had its day. Sorry if my opinion is contrary to other popular school of thought, but seriously, put the show to bed and let's be happy for what was. Nor am I a fan of RTD coming back.
Right, I've got one word for that. Bollocks. Right then, and
I sort of agree.
I have my...
Put your hand on your heart.
And told you exactly what I thought about that. No, I don't agree with that at all, that particular statement. Keep Doctor Who.
I was shocked.
If it goes, I tried shocked. But I know, all right, I did that one, Ben.
You can't blame Billy if it goes, come on.
No, not blaming the goes. What I'm saying is, if it goes, it will never come back. And here we go.
No.
It shocked me like nothing, like a bolt out of the blue.
Every single Sunday night, we sit here and do this podcast. Je ne sais pas pourquoi.
Oh, yeah, I've got that one.
Je ne sais pas pourquoi.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Do you want me to read this feedback?
Yes, please.
I can do it for hours, mate. I can do for hours.
Hang on, but it's never too late.
That's what she said.
Right, Debbie, read the feedback.
Master.
Oh,
master.
No.
Why does he keep interrupting me doing feedback?
because of what Master just said. He just said that if it goes, it'll never come back. In RTD's book, which was written, basically it's emails back and forth during the time that this story came out that we just saw, he says that if they don't find, they didn't have Moffat yet, and he says in the book, if we don't find anyone and the show dies, I'm not worried about it. Several years down the road, someone will pick it up again. It will never.
Not unless they sell the rights to an American company.
Like Star Trek, though. And it will carry on with Big Finish forever.
Nah. Or Big Finish, yeah, but that's a classic era.
Yeah, it will live with Big Finish and books.
But
I like to
watch telly.
It just wants a TV show again.
Don't stop doing it for the kids.
Just like Star Trek. That's a Robbie Williams song. That's
Thank
called
you,
Kids, isn't it?
Be so lucky.
That's a great tune, too. That is.
Okay, Debbie.
Before watching Voyage of the Damned, we watched the short. They call it the wrong name, so don't shout at them. Star Crash. It was great to see Peter Davison reprising his role as the Fifth Doctor. I hope that David doesn't suck up like that to his father-in-law when off camera. George would probably want a divorce. Starship Titanic. No, hang on. Sorry, that's the story by Doug Adams that Kirby talked about. This one's the other story about the Starliner Titanic. That's Kylie. No idea what's going on. That's Kylie. It's pretty much what's been going on here.
Yeah.
Hello, Linda here. Terry's wandered off to take a cold shower, mumbling Kylie. about an insurance fraud which involved the destruction of the earth. As Wilf would say, it's Christmas, so no change there then. There's Mr. Copper. He's the chap that becomes Mr. Bucket. Why is Banner Cafalata the only obvious alien on the starship from the planet Stow? Alonzo was very brave, having been shot in the stomach. The doctor gets to say, take me to your leader. Okay, Terry here, I now have to say, oh look, a bad impression of Davros. What a shame Kylie didn't join the Doctor in the TARDIS. The viewing numbers would have gone ballistic. As Mr. Copper said, that out of everyone who died, Slade is not someone who should survive, yet no one should have the power to choose who lives or dies. I wonder if Mr. Bucket went off to marry Hyacinth with all that money in the end. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Well, Kylie has an opinion on that feedback. Don't you, Kylie? At some point. That's, no, not that
keyboard, is she?
She's supposed to go wow, but she didn't say it early enough for my...
It sounded like one of those little keyboards that you used to get years ago.
A Casio VL tone.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to tell anyone else, maybe you can just confide in me.
I haven't got that one. No, sorry. I've got a song called Kids.
I did that one about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Anyway, right. So what else have we got here? We've got this.
Well, good evening to Andy McBride. It's Andy Denny here. It is Sunday evening. I'm just running my weekly bath. Other methods of washing aren't available. And
don't worry, I'll do that
myself more frequently than once a week.
I'll turn it down.
My hygiene went down. Yesterday and today, I did my usual routine of pressing clothing and catching up on Doctor Who. I know Kirby's really interested in that, but I won't list what my laundry this was this week. However, yesterday I watched the Voyager Damned. And, yeah, it's a thoroughly entertaining romp. I mean, it's perfect. It's a Christmas pantomime, really. Let's be realistic about it. Semi-serious, you know, because it's a Doctor coming into a situation where he's got to defeat somebody and put everything right and save the Earth. And it does seem to be that Christmas, as the Bernard Cribbins newspaper salesman said, you know, this third Christmas, two Christmases before we've had something, the last Christmas we had something, this Christmas, no, we're going to be safe, aren't we? Except when started Titanic and... yeah, when he comes out swearing and jumping and waving his fist to the sky. Is that excellent, that was? I wonder why he's the only one left. Where they were gone, you know. Who's going to buy his papers? Good grief, Sunday papers. And their standard went 3 years ago. Anyway, I digress. Yes. I mean, this really was... It was Poseidon Adventure meets hint to Weeping Angels with the host. Very definitely Claws of Axos. They're gold. Robots of Death. I mean, it had his hand fingerprints all over this as well. But... for all that, it worked very, very well. It kept you going. There were quite a few laughs along the way. I mean, there were some stereotypical characters. You know, you had the married couple. You knew they weren't going to get through. I mean, it was a question of which one was going to get bumped off first. And, you know, it was a husband who met a sad end. And then the wife decided, well, you know, she's going to go hero's way. Of course, you had Kylie. Oh, we're going to get Kylie as a companion. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look at her. She's really... No, she's not. She's dead. Yeah. By God, I bet that flattened a few people's Christmas, isn't it? But, I mean, you know, it just shows she actually is quite a good actress. I mean, she was, I think this is post-Neighbours. She's done quite a few other things.
Quite a long way post-Neighbours.
But she was good. She did underplay the part. The Australian accent wasn't as strong as perhaps it could have been. I don't know what her real accent is like.
Australian.
But, yeah, I mean, she was good. We had the guy playing the tour guide, and his name I ought to know, and I really should know, and I completely forgot.
Joe Bell?
My God, I'm definitely getting older. I'm sorry. but, again, he was a pretty stereotypical character, and you could guess that, you know, he'd be one that survived. His stories about the stories of Christmas, I mean, again, this is what made it into a panto, you know. Everyone worships Santa. You know, there's obviously a slight case of dyslexia there. Apologies to anyone who does. If you suffer from that, I do beg your pardon if anyone's offended. I don't feel free to beat me up later. And, you know, the people of Great Britain go into war with Turkey and explain they listen to Great France and a Great Germany. We're very prescient now because of the way we're not part of Europe anymore.
So I can explain that.
And, you know, the story of Christmas with, alternate workings. But, you know, I wonder how many people actually would believe that. Quite a few as well. And their total lack of knowledge of what Turkey, they can't just end up shuttling. They've got shuttles. Well, yeah, they have, but... doesn't quite work that way, does it? Of course, you have the Evior financier. I mean, you know, look like he's going to turn good at the end. I think how many people are thinking at the end there was going to be our Doctor, you know, I've seen the end of my way, he's going to turn around. And no, of course he's not. He's good old capitalism and more strength to his elbow and his mobile phone and everything like that. You know, he's made an absolute fortune, but as I said, he wouldn't be the one they chose. It's good, though, that Mr. Tour Guide, again, his name, I still can't remember. I'm sure everyone's shouting it at me, especially Kirby.
Joe Bell.
But he got off the end. Again, it's interesting, you know, it's not real snow. We've had that before, haven't we, in the Christmas episode, where it wasn't snow. It was, I hope my thing's still working. It seems to have stopped dead. This does seem to keep going. I'm going to keep talking anyway, just in case it is still working. But all in all, it really was a good Christmas romp, good cheerful stuff. This obviously would have been broadcast on Christmas Day and thoroughly enjoyable. I then watched Time Crash this morning.
Wrong way round. Off.
I mean, really, I should have done it the way round, shouldn't I? Because the one just lead the other one. Interesting. Was were David and Georgina an item by this point?
Georgina?
Or is this a case of life imitating art? You know, did you know, who would have foreseen when this was broadcast in what, 2000? When was it broadcast?
2007.
2009? Certainly when he was the Doctor, obviously that's going back quite a bit now as well. That, you know, he would end up with, you know, the Doctor's daughter being his wife, you know, and sort of, yeah, you know, those classic ones of the fifth, and, you know, how many Doctor takes you later in with a picture of the two of them changing light bulbs as well, and the fact that the Doctor's daughter is also his wife, so therefore the Doctor's child is the Doctor's... Yeah, let's not get totally messianic, that doesn't it. But this actually was quite good. I mean, again, it was in parts breaching the fourth wall, you know, the Doctor said, yeah, by the way, you're a fan, aren't you? You know, and it's, you know, cosplaying. I mean, it's... I never really got into cosplaying. When I did do a quite about 15 years when I used to do AV work at conventions, like lots of other things, I would just wear football shirts or rugby shirts. You know, I never went that way. But then, am I not just cosplaying my heroes? You know, the fact I rocked up the Harlequins yesterday, watching the bees next to 14-12, as I'm sure Debbie would know, and Kirby probably does know as well. Oh, well, in my two Quinn shirts, in fact, it was so blooming cold. And a hat, of course. But, no, again, this was a good fun. It was the Doctor Who sending itself up. A nice bit of writing by Stephen Moffat that everyone could truly chuckle at, and then it led into it. So all in all, yeah, two very good stories, not serious. You know, one good fun for Panto, Christmas, one good fun for Children in Need. And all in all, they worked very, very well, and it looks like my thing did keep working. So until next time, and I've run my washing machine and my tumble dryer, be seeing you.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Just give me a little bit more time.
And you know what the good thing about the Doctor is the fact that he's got two hearts.
Ah, no, you could have bloody led into that one, Ben, for goodness sake. Yeah. That's a really good one, but I haven't got that one.
Well, that do you know what that makes me do, Adam? That makes me leave tears on my pillow.
Oh, I've got that one.
I went to see that film in the cinema. That's all.
Delinquent. You don't remember me, but I remember you. Not so long ago.
Anyway, that's Kylie Minogue. Right then.
Tears on my pillow. Pain in my heart.
What have we started? Is your cat meowing yet, Debbie?
Wow.
That's a great tune, that. Her version of Tears on My Pillow is probably the best I've heard. It's really good.
That shocked me.
Oh, yeah, I was doing this, wasn't I? Oh, good Lord. I've lost me jingle. Oh, I know, because it wasn't in alphabetical order. Right then.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Time Crash by Stephen Moffat. Probably the best of the charity specials.
Yes.
The fifth Doctor appears with a pseudoscience explanation of why he's not as young as he once was. There are a pair of docs and an ontological paradox. No one thought of this emotion. Tenth Doctor just remembers himself doing it from when he was the fifth Doctor. Voyage of the Damned by Russell T. Davies. A Christmas special. We don't get those anymore.
No, we will
get
them back.
A robot host is talking about Max Capricorn and suddenly does a Max Headroom impression. Yeah. The Doctor is on a ship from the planet Stowe as a stowaway. I like the way Mrs. Van Hoff replies to the platitude, "It's what he would have wanted," with, "He doesn't want nothing. He's dead."
Yeah.
The Doctor gets to kiss Kylie. I should be so lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky.
We're way ahead
There's
of you.
There's a high death toll in this story, with most of the guest cast disappearing one by one.
Way ahead.
Donna's granddad is fine, though. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. It was very, very good. I've sort of lost my... Oh, yes, I was going to say. It was on my mind about saying bollocks to the opinion of Billy Kirkbright that Doctor Who TV show should finish.
To me.
But I wanted to sort of just elaborate on it a little bit.
You don't agree with what
I don't agree that they should get rid of Doctor Who. And when I said about it won't come back, yes, of course it's still in other formats, I know that, but I like to watch Doctor Who. And I feel, bearing in mind we had to wait, was it 15 years for it to come back when it was last axed? 15 years' time, I probably won't still be here, so I'll never see new Doctor Who again. So, I
so what you're saying, like Adam, is please stay.
I haven't got that one.
Oh, God's sake.
What I'm saying is, Ben, what I'm actually saying
is...
You're
saying more, more, more.
Oh, sorry. I'll do that again. What Kylie's saying, and I quite agree with that, I wouldn't change a thing in regards to keeping Doctor Who on the telly.
Or are you saying, on a night like this, I believe in you? There's two for you.
I don't think I've got that one. Oh, I've got a red-blooded woman. Can we make a reference to that one?
Only when we talk about Donna Noble.
No, it's red-haired woman.
I was close.
But although, did you know, Ben, you might not have mentioned this, but the Doctor's got two hearts.
Yes, I have mentioned that a couple of minutes ago, and you said you didn't have it.
I'm going to get told off in a minute. That's Kylie Minogue.
You know what, Adam,
hearts.
Even I had mentioned it before, it was never too late.
Never too late. Anyway, I'll do that never as the last one.
We're still
long lead in, isn't there? 6 seconds gone.
It's never too late to change your mind.
Whatever. Anyway, right then. Now you, Ben, have some text from a certain councillor, your Bognor Regis.
Yes, just let me breathe.
Are you ready?
Breathe? Hang on. I haven't got that one.
What kind of fool? Oh, is that no. A Kylie title as well? I was just speaking my mind to Adam.
Shall I read you out the titles I've got? Then it might help you a bit.
No. That's just too slow.
Kirby, no.
Anyway, I'll get on with this. Otherwise,
we're just I'm zoned out over here because I don't know any of these songs.
Oh, dear.
Either.
Oh, it's time to educate yourself.
But you influence the whole section, Kirby.
You should be dancing.
You should have finer feelings.
Oh,
Ben.
My God.
All of these song titles are golden.
Yeah, I've got Isla to bed in half an hour, you know.
I'm just waiting for Ben to...
When you saw Isla, was it love at first sight?
I haven't got that one.
Absolutely.
Well, put yourself in my place, because I've now got to read this.
Yes.
See, that was another one there. Put yourself in my place. Oh, God.
Yeah, but where in the world are you, Ben?
I'm wasted on this podcast, Adam. That's only because I've got 3.5 litres of vodka I get through every podcast. Anyway, let's get on with this.
Yes, please.
Now, there's a word.
Get on with it.
Let him then.
it's turning into a pantomime. It's fantastic.
Get on with it. Yeah.
Okay. The heroicism of Banathakanalata or Banathakanalata has a lot of good points. What's really annoying is I did practice saying Banathakanalata. Dear 20 megabiters, Voyage of the Damned is, of course, a closely studied cautionary tale about the knock-on effects of selfish corporate politics. Politics, I turned into Billy Kirk. Corporate politics and the pressures that may be applied to even a respectable, long-serving employee. Max is the vengeful capitalist, and whilst the Doctor stops a greater calamity, the proletarian characters bear the worst effects and are mainly killed, whilst the rich delinquent Rickson Slade survives unaffected. The captain is put in an intolerable dilemma by the corporate conflict.
Yes.
It should be noted that whilst... Some might
say... Hey! Slick!
That...
It should be noted that having this Titanic crashing spectacularly into the TARDIS console room was absurd. In fact, Doctor Who is a fantasy sci-fi TV show.
Got that round the wrong way.
And the memorality of this scene... Well, yeah, no, I won't comment. And the memorality of this scene and a bit of Tennant's Watt acting has greater value than the coherent verismelitude. What the fuck is that? Verisimilitude. There you go. Verisimilitude. Who I believe was in Coronation Street back in the 60s.
Wasn't it? Ermyntrude. She was in Magic Roundabout, wasn't she, Ermyntrude?
No, that was her sister.
Oh.
This was verisimilitude.
Okay.
Of our favourite, bigger on the inside, time jump machine in the shape of a 1950s police box. Also, if you're going to do a prelude with the beige doctor, why not liven it up a bit in advance? We also learn that the Mox of Balhoon managed to escape his chair and yes, have lots of plastic surgery done to assume his new identity of Bana Capalata.
Bana Capalata.
Thank you. Also, Mr. Joe Bell. Should have double L, surely, then, if it's Joe Bell. Otherwise, it's Jobble. Also, Mr. Joe Bell did survive his clash with Davros, and whilst a little confused, became a nicer person, albeit his actor alter ego remained exceptionally grumpy. All in all, Voyage of the Damned is an entertaining Christmas spectacular, which fits its festive purpose, whilst also liberally bringing the spectre of death to our Christmas day, a role fully taken on in 2021 by Her Majesty the Queen. Despite his name, Max Capricorn is not the greatest of all time wheelchair-bound villain, but serves his role well and is maybe a little underused. Given their welcomely reminiscent look, it is perhaps a shame that the hosts were not simply the exact same design from Robots of the Death, and a conceit was not found to throw some hands at them. Mm. Jeffrey Palmer and Russell Tovey's characters are almost criminally pretemporary and brief. Likewise, Kylie Minogue's Astrid seems a little wasted on just this episode, although I suppose it is an indication of how prominent the show was at this point, that elements like this can be burnt through because both characterizations and the guest actors are of such a high standard. It will, however, be unforgivable if Bernard Cribbins is not brought back. Spoilers, my friend. Spoilers. Amazingly, the less well-known supporting cast are given a chance to shine and rise to the challenge. This story is perhaps 10 minutes too short, as they omitted to explain that Astrid's name was an anagram of TARDIS. It's not an anagram. No, it's definitely not an anagram, is it?
Here we go. Yeah.
Sorry, Adam. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. This story is perhaps... explain that Astrid's name was an anagram of TARDIS because she was walking, talking TARDIS that was obviously smaller on the outside. Next up, Doctor Who and the Diet of Doom, or the Donna Keys babbling. Was he drunk when he wrote this? Next up, Doctor Who and the Diet of Doom, or the Donna Keys babbling scene is done in mime. Those are my thoughts. Sorry. Those are my thoughts. I'm thinking.
Just laugh. I can't believe we finally got through that section.
You can't.
I feel really sorry about saying that Billy Kirkbright's opinions about the end of the series bollocks. Now, I'm sorry, Billy.
It's all right.
I mean, I just lost it for a moment.
I was going to say he'll be on a flight from Perth, but obviously he won't be because you're not allowed to leave Perth at the moment. So whenever the quarantine is lifted and they're allowed to leave Perth, he'll be on a plane coming to bop you on the nose.
All right,
punch him square in the face if you prefer that. You're making hard being nice. All right, do him with a crowbar. Whatever, it's fine.
I haven't even got a Kylie Minogue song that says sorry.
You could play I've got chocolate.
I need chocolate now, but I've got some in my drawer, actually. I've got some emergency bar of chocolate in my drawer for moments like this. It's M&S Swiss chocolate extra fine milk with fruit and nut.
Ooh.
Slightly out of date, but
it doesn't matter if it's out of date.
It doesn't. It's got 39 in it. Right, Doctor Who news. Doctor Who magazine issue 573 is out. We're catching up, actually, with the numbers, you know, with the Doctor Who magazine's amount of output, bearing in mind they've been around a lot longer than us. And on the front
finishing
cover...
in 2 years, though, because if not, they'll start drawing ahead
again. It's less than 2 years
again.
Now, Ben. It's less than 2 years.
I don't know, mate. I've got two calendars up, one for this year, one for next year. Marks off every single day.
Thanks for that. Yeah, it's a lovely picture of the 13th Doctor in angel garb. Now, just while they brought that out after the finale of the Flux, because that would have been a bit of a spoiler. In the magazine, there are things about Doctor Who in it, including a tribute to Chris Achilleos, who I accidentally saw but didn't acknowledge at Wales Comic Con, and Francis White, who from the Trojan Horse to Granny Pig. And it also it's basically about how digital technology has transformed Doctor Who. And it's going to do again, because obviously the Doctor is going to be regenerating within the next 12 months, apparently. Right, we've got Eve Online versus...
That's an eternity.
Eve Online versus... Or Cross X, sorry. Eve Online X Doctor Who crossover event. Interstellar Convergence. CCP Games and BBC Studios have announced an original crossover event between Doctor Who and the free-to-play deep space-fearing MMO Eve Online. Don't know what that means. Universes will collide as Capsuleers and Doctor Who fans face the Daleks. Oh, what a surprise. How imaginative. Face the Daleks together in a massive space battle in Eve. I think it's EVE Online and Doctor Who versus, sorry, Doctor. Oh, whatever. Anyway, that's the thing about Doctor Who Online. Right then. And
it's
there's
a game. That's a game.
An appreciation index for Eve of the Daleks, 77. I think that might be good. I'm not sure. The audience, as I suppose what said before, was 3.21 million, because, again, they put it up against... and it doesn't matter what you lot think of The Masked Singer. It's very popular. But after... Well, it basically, the top spot was a tourist. It wasn't that far behind, really, the most watched programme on BBC TV, at least. But yeah, so they haven't actually published the final viewing figures of Eve of the Daleks. But yeah, that's it. That's it for Doctor Who news. Not a lot there, really.
No, it's not.
But
no,
there is news.
Not. No, it's not. No, oh, it's God. Not.
Go on, then.
I have some Doctor Who. I have two lots of Doctor Who news for you. An update on who could be the 14th Doctor, but we'll get there in a minute first.
Daniel Craig, he's available.
Well, no.
Right.
The thinking around the 14th Doctor before we get to the odds
It
will now be another female. Right. And now the reason it's thought of is thought that is because an entertainment industry insider has apparently seen something about the 14th Doctor, which basically reads the Doctor picks up companions, faces evil foes with little more than her wits and sonic screwdriver. So from that little piece of media blurb, they've taken that the next Doctor is going to be a female. What they haven't thought of, actually, is that that is probably the same blurb as was put out for the 13th Doctor, and they forgot to change the word her or have left it in there deliberately to try.
Could really say there, not he or she. It should say there, shouldn't it? It should be.
But it says. But
desexicized. So as to keep it.
So
keep everybody
that's
guessing.
The first bit of Doctor Who news.
Yes.
The second bit of Doctor Who news, I'm just trying to find the little bit that I'm trying to tell you about because I'm as. Clearly as planned and as you are. Doctor Who news, Silent Witness star becomes new favourite to replace Jodie Whittaker.
It's always a Silent Witness star that they think is the favourite. Always. But carry on, who is it this time?
6-1, Fizayo Akinade, who played Andrew Dewey in Silent Witness, has been touted as the next actor to pick up the screwdriver.
No, I haven't watched it for a while, so I don't know who that is.
He was Ziggy in Ordinary Lies, apparently. Oh, that's what he looks like, is it? Okay, no, I don't know who that is. And who else is in the running? Ollie Alexander. God, no seriously, chance. Bolly Alexander. If Bolly Alexander became the next Doctor, I would so quickly side with what Billy Kirkbride
thinks. Yeah, well, he is a good actor, but...
He's not. He's a...
He's a good actor. But no, but interestingly and topically, the BBC put out a New Year's sort of extravaganza, as they always do, overnight. And that particular extravaganza was Ollie Alexander singing with Kylie Minogue. Now, Kylie Minogue put out a song called Hand on Your Heart, which went a bit like this.
Put your hand on your heart and tell me.
It went a bit like this. Sorry, Dave Lee Travis.
Whack, whack, Seriously. Oops.
You clearly didn't go to DJ school, did you?
Anyway, it's Dave Lee Travis who told me of the passing of John Lennon. It was a very sad day, that was. Right, I suppose I'll
better... Why was it your house?
I woke up to the...
You woke up, Dave Lee Travis was in your house.
Dave, my clock radio used to go off when I was had to go to school and stuff. And on the 8th of December...
It was playing Sonny and Cher, right?
No, on the 8th of December, 1980...
No, Michael Keaton turned that role down.
Tell a story
to,
here.
What's his name?
I forgot I was going to look up on the... Oh, yeah. Anyway, so on the 8th of December 1980, it woke me up in the usual fashion. But normally, Dave Lee Travis would be going, hey, it's the Harry Cornflake, and all that crap. And he was, I've got this terrible news. Oh, Christ, what's happened? And, of course, he announced it with a very quivery, teary voice that John Lennon had been murdered. And then went a couple of years of... devastation that would never see the Beatles again. Right then, Doctor Who news. I haven't had, and it's not Doctor Who news. It's whowon.co.uk.
whowon.co.uk?
I'm not edit because I don't edit. I just sort of own my mistakes, which is basically doing 12 years of podcasting. London 1965 is a big Finnish production. Jamie Glover reads this Beyond the Doctor story featuring Ian Chesterton and Barbara Wright. It's BBC stroke, I would imagine, Big Finish. Maybe I got that wrong. Canine Audio Annual. I imagine they would just have to start reducing these annuals because it's gone past Christmas now. Sixth Doctor of the Eleven. Very cool cover, that is. The Eleven, a Time Lord criminal whose past selves all live on the inside of his head.
The guy who plays the Eleven is amazing. It's Mark Bonner.
Yeah.
And he can play 11 distinct personalities. And so he's an enemy of the Doctor.
It's basically a Sixth Doctor story.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's a great cover.
Yeah. And Mark Bonner is amazing.
Diary of River Song 9. There's another big Finnish production featuring my old buddy, Alex Kingston, who I met at Wales Comic Con a couple of years ago. Great Sontaran War. It's a Torchwood story featuring cast of Torchwood. Apparently, John Barrowman was saying at Wales Comic Con that Big Finish have shelved all the stories he's recorded for that haven't been released yet, the Torchwood stories, because they're still cross with him for something he did 15 years ago. Innocently, I'm not going to go down that road again, but I think it's just ridiculous. Sorry, Big Finish. Sorry, BBC. You're very mean to John Barrowman. And the Fifth Doctor Lost Resort, featuring it's a CD story. That's the stuff that is currently
CD
available.
Story. Does that star John Barrowman as well?
No. Stuff coming up soon. This one available pre-order. Eighth Doctor Charlie Pollard Further Adventurers. Spelt wrong. Eighth Doctor Stranded 3. Babylon the Butcher. Fifth Doctor 41. That's as in FORTY and the number 1. Grey Mare, Torchwood Story. Not featuring.
It's his 40th year as the Doctor, so he's having big specials celebrating the 40th year.
That's good. That Torchwood Story not featuring John Barrowman. Jenny the Doctor's Daughter 2. I would imagine that's probably got Georgia Moffat in it. Georgia Tennant, as she is now. Ninth Doctor Adventures, Lost Warriors. Peladon. Who's in that one? I'm just seeing who's in it. There's a few Doctors in that one. We've got the Sixth Doctor and the Eighth Doctor and River Song and some Ice Warriors and the Alpha Centauri thingy and Red List, Torchwood Story and Series 13. You'll be up for this one, Ben. DVD of Series 13 Flux. So that's who won.
Flux.
A quick plug for Heroes, because I did actually buy a Funko Pop from Heroes. It's my John Lennon figure, which is currently residing up there next to my Colonel Sanders figure. I've always wanted to have.
You're not
going to
show it to us?
Oh, God. All right. Oh, I just tripped over my bloody screwdriver then. Right, here it is. For the benefit of the viewer, who's now probably just switched off. Oh, God, here's John Lennon. It's John Lennon in his sort of early 1970s setup. So I'm hoping they'll do the same for all the other Beatles up post breakup, so I can have the set of the Beatles. that's it then now for who won. But we do have, as Heroes done, Lavazzi. I'm just going to check how Lavazzi are doing post Crimbo to see if they've got any offers on. Let's have a look. No. But you can still get Fourth Doctor scarves, 13th Doctor scarves. You can get the T-shirts, actually, from other means. I've got a 13th Doctor T-shirt somewhere upstairs. I haven't worn it since last summer. And the Fifth Doctor cricket jumper, 7th Doctor paisley hanky, and superb question mark pullover. I've had two of those. Both of them I don't wear anymore because they get snagged on things and go all fluffy. So probably the best option would be to buy one of them and get Sylvester McCoy to sign it and then frame it. But that's Lavazzi.com. What makes me laugh, they've still got a 2021 diary for the catalogue. But as I say, it's sold out. Right, so that's it. I've managed to go through the sponsors, even if it's briefly. They get their mention as in the contract. Check out their websites. That's whowon.co.uk, lavazzi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. Oh, I managed to get all that in without interruptions. So next time we'll be
fast enough. Are there any comments on the?
Oh, good. Yes, there are. In fact, well done, Kirby. There are comments. Ian Kirk says, "Everybody needs good neighbours." That's not one of Kylie's songs, Ian. Lillian Robbins says, "Does Joe Bell eat Taco Bell?" Maybe in another episode. And Alan T. Butcher says, "Baban T. Butcher, not Babian T. Butcher." And that's obviously something that. Maybe Ben got confused with, perhaps. I don't know. So that's the comments that have come through, apart from me and Kurt's script that we played the audio for. Next time, it's Partners in Crime.
Yay! Which I watched last night.
And also, we mustn't forget, Kirby, that somewhere along the line, there's that other animated episode. And
yes.
This is one that you're going to find very difficult. What about the Sarah Jane Adventures that also featured David Tennant as the 10th Doctor?
Well, that's up to you, but you don't want to go off and watch things that are in-universe but not...
This is the thing, I don't know whether to watch them or not. And I don't know if we've already missed, because he was in two Sarah Jane stories, David Tennant, whether we've missed his first appearance.
Dreamland comes, that's the next animated one. Comes after Waters of Mars, so we have a ways.
So what are you going to do? You're going to remind me about that, aren't you?
Yes.
And I'm going to be struggling to find it. Like I was with
For those who are wondering about Baban the Butcher, that is Colin Baker playing, revising a character that he played in Blake 7.
Oh.
So it's a Blake 7 audio starring... Colin Baker as Baban Butcher.
Oh, okay. So that's what Alan T. Butcher was...
that's what he was kind of correcting what you said.
Thank you, Alan T. Butcher.
You know, the one thing I regret about dropping BritBox is that they now have those... darn it, now I've gone blank.
Blake 7?
Blake 7. They have Blake 7 on. And I no longer have
I don't worry, I don't have BrickFox either, because I've got a Cineworld unlimited pass, and I have to put the funds into that. And by way of segueing, we have indulged, or I have indulged my pass in three films since I got it. The first one, or was it two films? The first one, we thing called a Cineworld secret showing, like a secret preview, which I think are really cool, actually. But you don't know what you're going to see. You just go along and hope it's something you like. And Isabella thought it was going to be Scream. Well, it couldn't have been, because Scream's in 18, but at the time wasn't certificate. I think 18. So we went and sat in the cinema, and Belfast was the film that was shown.
But they remade Scream.
Yes, they've remade Scream. It's coming out on Thursday.
You're joking.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what if it's a, more of a more of a sequel than a remake, but it's a continuation, apparently. I don't know, but it is in the cinema on either Thursday or Friday. But we watched Belfast, which is a masterpiece. Quite slow going in some areas, but it's a beautiful piece of art. A well done Kenneth Branagh for doing something completely different than what he normally does. And of course, Judi Dench is in it as a sort of peripheral character. But yeah, it's well worth watching if you get a chance to see that. But if you don't mind watching black and white films and stuff, you know. And the other thing
it's
we
a
saw
continuation.
Was, it is a continuation.
Scream.
Yeah,
it's Scream 5, and yes. It's 25 years after the original one.
Yes, but I've seen a trailer, and it does hint of a continuation. So if
and,
you like Scream,
by the way, just in case anyone wants to know, the bloke who does the stabbing is the one who wears the mask.
Goodness me, spoilers.
A bit like Halloween then. The other thing was we went to see, what's it called again? The King's Man or The King's Men or whatever it's called.
King's Man.
Rafe Fiennes in it.
Was it good? I want to see
very
that.
Very good. It's very action-packed. Lots of shocks and twists in it. So be prepared for some shocks and twists. Highly recommended film, and of course the cast are amazing. We've got Ralph Fiennes as the main actor. We've also got a few well-known faces from other comic-based genres and franchises as well in it. So, yeah, I'd say watch it before they take it out, because we've missed a couple of films that have come out of the cinema since just before we got our Unlimiteds. But yeah, I must admit, it was really good fun sitting in the cinema and not knowing what's coming on. So, looking forward to the next one, which I think is in a month's time. Not doing a plug for Cineworld.
It's got Neve Campbell in it.
Big pardon?
The new Scream's got Neve Campbell in it.
Yeah, go and watch it. Apparently, it's very much getting. Isabella says she's waiting for the reviews, but there's a lot of excitement around it. So, not my cup of tea.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm guessing it's going to be reasonably similar to Scream 1.
I'd say so too. But with slightly better special effects.
I'd say it won't vary too much in plot.
Mm. But there are some. I mean, we're going to try and turn Friday nights into cinema night with the family. Obviously, I have to buy Deb's tickets because she hasn't gotten an unlimited pass.
Oh, thanks.
But not yours. But currently on at the cinema and until Thursday is The 355. That doesn't appeal to me at all. The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne does appeal to me, but I probably won't get to see it because they put it on a 2:20 in the afternoon. Like I say, The King's Man, Matrix Resurrections. I haven't watched any of the Matrix films. I feel as I should really watch the other ones.
Yeah, what, really?
I know, I should watch them. I agree.
Watch the first one.
Yeah.
And then just get really confused by the next two by not bothering. Just watch the end of the third one so you know how to watch the fourth
exactly.
one. Exactly.
If you say so. Spider-Man.
Watch the first one. Go out and watch the first one. It's excellent.
Okay. I want to watch them, Kirby. They're on Netflix at the moment. Spider-Man No Way Home. Absolute superb movie. Clifford the Big Red Dog. I haven't seen it. Don't want to watch it. Restwise Story Remake. I like the original. I don't know why they remade it. I think the original was charming. It's not exactly a film they need special effects for, is it? It's a song and dance film. And The House of Gucci is a film I'd like to see. Isabella wants to see. And I know the Lady Gaga, is it?
Gaga.
She apparently...
It's Gaga.
It's not Gaga.
Gaga.
You sure? Yes. Lady Gaga. Yeah. That's what it says, Gaga on the thing. It's anyway, apparently Gaga. Apparently she's going to get an Oscar for it.
We're the Americans and she's American. Come on.
No, yeah, but she got a name from a Queen song, and so I'm afraid that Gaga. Makes her... Gaga, yeah. Gaga.
No, because Freddie Mercury doesn't sing All We Hear Is Radio Gaga. That, in your words from earlier, would be bollocks.
Gaga. Gaga. Or a Lady Gaga. Yeah, apparently.
All we hear is Radio Gaga. Gaga. So therefore, she is Radio. So she is Lady Gaga.
She is Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Stephanie. Well, I call her Lady Gaga. Because the Americans can't pronounce her.
Yeah, I'm with Kirby on this.
Oh, I want to call her Lady Gaga.
Every time you say Lady Gaga, me and Kirby are just going to start shouting Master.
All right, Lady Gaga.
Master. Master, Master, Master.
Lady Gaga. Okay, I'll call it. Can I call her Stephanie then?
Yeah.
Okay. Stephanie, Germanotta. No wonder she changed her name to Lady Gaga with a surname like Germanotta. Yeah, it is Germanotta. Lady Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Yeah, all right, Lady Gaga. Yeah, she's in a film called. I've lost my page now, thanks to you lot. God's sake. House of Gucci. And there's a film, there's a pre-order for Scream.
Bear with me. 1 second.
You're not going to burp, are you?
What? You carry on.
Scream is available for pre-order, and a film called A Journal for Jordan. And, it's an unlimited screening. Oh, it's a pre-order your tickets now for the 17th of January. I don't know if I want to watch that anyway. And the other thing was, I missed that film that I really wanted to see with Will Smith in it about the Williams sisters stuff. But that went out of the cinema before I got a chance to watch it. But I'm sure it'll be on telly soon.
While we're talking about films and movie stars and stuff like that, can anyone tell me what the J... No, hold on. Can anyone tell me what Michael J. Fox's middle name is?
Gaga?
Jonathan?
Nope.
Gerald?
Jehovah.
Nope.
Jordan.
Nope. You're miles away.
Jeremy.
Nope. Miles away.
Miles away. Is that a clue? Miles.
Michael J. Fox's middle name is Andrew.
Thanks for that.
It is. Why did he call himself Michael J. Fox?
Because it sounded good.
Because when he signed up to the Screen Actors Guild, like you have to when you become an actor, the name Michael Fox was already registered. He didn't want to be Michael A. Fox because, well, that sounds like he's a fox. And I guess. And so he went Michael J. Fox after another actor who was something, Michael J. something. It was a homage to someone called, another actor called Michael or J.
You are a
Fox.
Hive of information, aren't you?
Well, only when it comes back to Back to the Future.
I that someplace, but I wasn't going to look it up this time because I don't care.
And before I say goodbye, the other film I was very disappointed to miss out on because it literally went out of the cinema on Thursday, its last showing. It was a film called Encanto, which is a Disney movie.
That is the best movie.
I really want to see it, and now I've got to watch it on Disney.
The songs are addictive. They are absolutely addictive.
It's on Disney Plus.
Minding my own business, and I get assaulted by songs from Encanto. Yeah.
It's on our Disney Plus. I don't know if it's on
your
Disney
Plus.
No,
it's on
Disney.
I just said it was on Disney Plus. Anyway, but I will get to see it, but I was hoping to see it in the cinema. That's it then. So next time, like I say, we're going to be talking about Partners in Crime. So until then, please continue to provide feedback for the show, because it really wouldn't be the show without it. See you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Hello. My name's Billy Kirkbride, and I used to listen to 20 Megabyte podcast until Adam said my thoughts were bollocks. Now I don't listen. I'm off to Pitt.
You didn't do that well.
He's down to Pitt.
90 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.